Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 15th, halfway through the month of September.
Yep, it is. Hurrah. Hey-o. Is the virus over yet?
Maybe.
Maybe.
They're not going to tell us if it is.
Nope.
Not until after the election.
Right, I was going to say, not until after the election, after there is a clear and present winner.
Yeah, well.
That's going to be contested as well.
As long as it's Joe Biden, the way they see it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as they, them. Did you see what Jim Cramer did today on his discussion in his interview with
Crazy Nancy?
Yeah, that was something, huh?
There's something looks staged about it.
It was off. It was just weird.
He said Crazy Nancy in a way that was, because nobody calls her, they refer to her as Crazy Nancy, but nobody calls her Crazy Nancy, so why would he?
He said he was trying to be tongue-in-cheek and say it like, yeah, hey, you know what they're saying about Crazy Nancy, you know, like that. But didn't seem to come out that way.
I got the thing on tape. I didn't.
I apologize.
It's almost as though she told him to do it. I mean, I don't have any idea. It's just very offbeat. Mm.
Well, we're asking tonight if the correction is over. Also, we're waiting the FOMC rate decision tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. the TikTok drama continues as China now weighs in. We have a new
fiasco,
total fiasco. We have a new Thanksgiving Day Macy's parade format that's happening. We'll be talking about the Big Mac index and what it's saying about the dollar and the pound, and a look, just a short, very, very brief look at the Apple event. So
there was an event.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was all green screened and really highly produced, and they had a couple of different announcements. And usually it happens at 1 o'clock, which is a good time to grab a sandwich or something and eat some lunch and watch it. And about 20 minutes into it, I said, oh yeah, that's it, done. I'm not interested in watching any more of this. So quick market update. NASDAQ was
You might as well tell us why your disinterest set in.
I mean, it was about the watch, and they announced this new fitness app, and they have this new blood oxygen monitoring.
I saw the ads.
Just in case I climb Mount Everest, I know what my O2 rate is, and who knows where that's going and who's holding this data anyway. And a new fitness program where they bundled it up, and they're trying to sell it, for $29 a month. I'm not exactly sure.
Seems high.
You can't really ride the watch, and you can't really use it as a mirror for any kind of, I don't know what exactly is happening with this. So it seems that they're trying to get in on the, it's, you know what Apple does, right? Apple gets in on the action. That's what they always do. So, I mean, the watch look really cool. They have new bands.
You know what Apple should have done?
What's that?
Brought out a competitor to the Peloton or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the Peloton. I mean, they're right. There's a Nautilus, the Peloton. You got the Mirror, you got the Tonal.
Yeah, if Apple brought one out.
Right.
With branded Apple product, it would kill those other products.
Right. Well, Peloton was up like 5% before the announcement, dropped down to just a plus 1%, then came right back. When everybody said, when I looked at this, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. That's going to probably hurt Peloton and a few of these other, but, and then I said, well, wait a second. I don't think so. This doesn't look that good. Or it doesn't look good at all.
A reflection of the mentality of the market.
Yeah. So it was just like, eh. So that was that. They had announced a new iPad thin something or other and a couple other devices, but nothing very exciting. Nothing about the phone really to speak of. But these are things that they talked about. I thought some of the things they talked about with the watch. The big thing about the watch is all about health. Now, I think that was really smart for them to do that. And where they are trying to say, hey, you know, we can be a pre-symptom discovery potentially of things like coronavirus. You know, if we pick up certain things that are happening, maybe, I think that's what they were trying to get at. by really, you know, people are so concerned about their health right now. And I think that's what they really tried to focus in on. But I don't think that's a big deal. I mean, I think it's a big deal to be worried about your health, but I don't think that the watch is, people are going to be like, oh, yeah.
Why do you have to pay? Well, my question is, why do you have to spend another, after you buy an overpriced watch, another $29 a month? Well, what's that for?
There's a whole bunch of things that are bundled up in there.
So you have to, every month, you got to pay for some.
You don't have to. You don't have to get the fitness tracking programming thing. But it's just part of...
Why is it so expensive?
$29 a month? Is that expensive? I mean, I guess it just... I don't know what it does.
Well, yeah. $360 a year for what? Data kept in the cloud?
Yeah.
Minuscule. Is probably not enough bytes to do anything.
Yeah.
Probably put it on a thumb drive. I mean, yeah, it's expensive.
Well, again, they're trying to capitalize on this fitness craze and say that, you know, you have this with you all the time and it tracks everything. And now it even does elevation and it does... tracking when, if you wear your watch to sleep, it's going to also do background stuff. And it's, they bundled up. Yeah. Somebody's mentioning in the chat room. So they bundled up their Apple Plus news and their TV Plus news and the fitness plus. It's all the plus, 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 plus. Plus just means they should put a dollar sign instead of the plus. That should be what it is. You know, this whole thing about paying a firm to come up with this plus and then just putting it across everything. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
HBO Plus.
Yep. That's what works. Disney Plus. Everything's a plus.
Disney Plus.
Yep. Everything's a plus. Market update. NASDAQ is bumping off the 50-day moving average, and we saw this bounce right off of it pretty much to the T. First time since April. So we'll see it. SPACs are making and still attracting tons of money.
Yeah, this is your this is your thing.
I mean, it's interesting.
Why don't you explain what they are again?
SPACs are special purpose acquisition companies. And what they do is sometimes they call it a blank check company. In the old days, they would be called a blind pool, where all this money would go into a company and then the company would go out. Then they kind of morphed a little bit. But the companies today, what they're doing is saying, hey, you know what? Give me money. And what I'm going to do is something special. I'm going to find a company out there that's privately held right now that's maybe looking to come IPO, but not want to go through all the hoops and all the process and the dog and pony shows and the financial. And all. We're going to do that all for you. And we're going to back end it into a publicly traded vehicle. So it's really easy. And basically just give us all this money and we're going to find something to do and hoping to God that they find something really interesting. So latest one.
So this is kind of like a poor man's venture capital fund.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's publicly traded.
Publicly traded, but you can buy one share, five shares. You can buy a bunch of these things and hope that they're going to.
Now, venture capital funds make their money by investing in maybe 100 companies and that are all private and small and startups often. And one or two of them have some nifty little gizmo that can scale to the bejiggers. And it goes nuts. And they can roll that out as a public offering and make billions of dollars and lose their butt on everything else.
Yeah. The old unicorn
That's
story.
The model.
Yeah.
How's the SPAC going to be able to do better than that?
They're hoping they can find these companies, like a lot of them have gone after the electric vehicles. They've gone after today. There was a, what was it called? Open Door. I can't pronounce this guy's name. Chattamadaba Pathamadama. Smart guy. I just butchered that really badly. I don't know what his name is. But he's an interesting fellow. He has a variety of these. Actually, in the game, I picked his SPAC. You know, the one that the IPOC?
Yes.
That's the one I picked. And what happened is that they are now buying a company that buys real estate, renovates it, and then puts it back on the market and does a few other things in the real estate business.
Wow.
As well. Yeah.
Publicly traded house flippers.
Yeah, pretty much. But the stock was up like 34% when it was announced today. Mm. So they're buying that and they're looking for this.
You still in it on the game?
Yeah. Well, the game one, I have the C. This was the B. There's the IPOB.
It's just again like venture capital. They get these rounds.
Right.
Or they have these specific funds, the B fund, the A fund. Okay.
Yep. So what we saw was like Nikola, and we've seen a couple of other car companies get in that process and big excitement about how this is all going to go down. And
how did the Nicholas stock hold up after one of our short guys went in there, went after him?
Yeah, the Hindenburg report went after it.
Yeah.
And then it came down pretty well. And then there was a backup by another group that came down. Now the FTC is looking into them as well as the SEC. If you didn't notice, one of the things we found out was the ad they did back a couple of years ago with this truck that was traveling down a road looked beautiful. Turns out it was on a large hill that they just let it go. It was not under its own power.
Well, they just cocked the camera?
Yeah. They let the gravity pull the truck down the hill.
Oh, they could have cocked it even more. Looked like it was going up the hill.
Yeah, exactly. But it was not under its own power, so that's kind of a deceptive advertising.
You think?
A little bit. So that's going on, and there's a whole bunch of other things. Now, GM, the GM CEO said that she stands by the firm's due diligence on their $2 billion push into Nikola. And Nikola's
I missed this.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea that GM was I almost said stupid. they were cavalier enough to invest in Nikola. Now, the thing that bothers me about Nikola right from the get-go, which is makes me suspect,
the name
is the name of the company. The name.
Yeah, of course, it's trying to be a mirror image of Tesla, which is
Tesla. Nikola, this Nikola's Tesla's first name of the person, the inventor, and I just thought that was cheesy.
Yeah,
I mean, one of the best electric companies, electric car companies in China is NIO, N-I-O.
Yeah.
It's not, they're not derivative.
Yeah, it's not like Edison or something like that, right?
Or something dumb.
Franklin. Franklin's kite company.
Motor car company, curiously.
So, that's been having some trouble. And then after hours tonight, it was down about 5% today. Then after hours tonight, there was the FTC was looking into them. So that was another issue down to the 5%. So it's holding about the $30 level.
Yeah, I'm going to put in the game as a short.
Oh, there you go. Vaccine hopes are helping post-pandemic trade. We've seen a few days of that happening, even though the AstraZeneca was... they complained about the sound here. AstraZeneca was... the study was pulled due to a neurological issue.
Yeah.
That was going on, so...
I wish they'd reveal what some of these things are, because it would be funny.
What kind of funny? What are you talking about?
I mean, what does it cause? It caused tics?
No, it was a severe neurological issue.
Is it curable? I mean, we don't know anything.
Right. It was some kind of disease of some sort. That's all I can tell you. And sports stocks are moving. The gambling stocks are moving. You know, the Penn National and DraftKings, because we got sports again. Did you spend the weekend watching some college ball and
on and NFL? Off. I couldn't watch much of it because it's so stupid playing to these empty audiences. And I think the great irony is that absolutely jaw-dropping, eye-popping stadium that the Rams are going to be playing in Los Angeles, which is just as you look at it, you go, my God, dead empty. I mean, this has got to be a huge, nobody's talking about this part of it. It's got to be a huge disappointment for the ownership who spends billions of dollars on a stadium like this and did just nothing. What's the point? You might as well be playing in a field at a high school.
My wife said, when I told her, I said, hey, that, you know, did you notice there's no fans? She goes, what do you mean? She says, look at all the fans. I said, those aren't fans. She goes, look at all the faces and all that. I said, will you just stop for a second and look? And seeing all these cardboard cutouts, she says, oh, I thought there was people in the stands. So I guess they're fooling some people, I guess. And then they have the background
and
noise.
They have the phony sounds, so they have cheers. Well, I always thought this would be a good idea. You know, the NBA one, they've gone even further. They got these videos of all these different people.
Right. Just like crazy people, crazy fans.
Yeah, and a lot of celebrities are in there too. But I think they could say, money-making idea, I think that the NBA could sell those positions to real people who have just a webcam, and you could be virtually there. Your head would be there, and you could, you know, hold up signs and do stuff. Sure. And pay $100 to be one of the fake people in the stands. I think that a lot of people would buy into that.
Well, and not only, I agree with you in that because a lot of people aren't paying for their season tickets.
Yeah.
So why not spend it on that and then get some, you know,
you get a kick out of it because you watch the game. You're watching the game on TV. You might as well, you could take part and, you know, they could even take the sound feeds. They don't care.
Maybe they'll do it. Maybe they'll do it.
They won't do anything.
Yeah. All right. We have a whale update. So SoftBank, if you remember last week, we talked about how SoftBank was.
Yeah. You're on the SoftBank beat.
Yeah. So SoftBank put in all this money and they were pushing up artificially the markets by options to the tune of $4 billion, which is heavily leveraged. Now they came out with an announcement after this all went to crapola that they're going to review their options strategy. They're going to review what they were doing. Now, this company has been shedding assets. So they just sold ARM Arm Holdings, which is the foundry
company.
They
just bought them recently.
Yep, they bought them for, let's see, they bought them for $31.5 billion in 2016. And they sold it for $40 billion. And a lot of people are scratching their head. Yeah, seems like a little light.
Well, they bought for 31, sold for 40.
Yeah, for 4 years. But I'm just saying that's
almost $1 billion a year of just free money.
Yeah. They made what they make. They made 25% on it or something like that.
Yeah.
So Nvidia is buying it.
Actually an interesting idea.
Yep. It's gonna be a $12 billion cash deal and $2 billion payable at signing and $21 billion in Nvidia stocks. So this is the problem. They had all this money and they're like, what are we going to do with this? You know, we need to make money on it. Our people aren't paying us just to sit on cash because they've been selling a lot of assets off. And that's
so this was a good move by them.
I think so. I think so. It's a good move for Nvidia.
It never made sense to me that they bought them in the first place. And it never made sense to me that AMD or Intel didn't buy them. So there's something wrong either with ARM as an idea. You know, it's just an IP company. It's not really, they don't make anything.
Right.
And it just seemed logical because the potential for them to eat Intel and AMD's lunch based on the model that they've chosen to go with, it's called fabless semiconductors.
Right.
And neither one of those companies cared to even think about buying them. And it baffled me. It still baffles me to this day. And now Nvidia's doing it. There's something wrong with the stock or the company. I don't know what it is.
I mean, it is a bit of a risk in a way. I mean, they need to keep on coming up with new ideas, just like every other chip company, of course, but then they offsite their production, right? I mean, it's just a think tank for development, isn't it? I mean,
they don't offsite anything. They just license.
I'm saying they don't actually manufacture anything themselves.
Right. But yeah, no, they don't manufacture or even job out the manufacturing. For example, Apple has the license for ARM stuff, and the iPad is a good example of an ARM chip that's been customized by Apple for a very specific purpose. And it's very difficult to clone an Apple iPad because you don't have that chip and you can't get that chip. It's an Apple proprietary chip. It moves towards proprietary technology, which may be the reason that AMD and Intel shied away from it because their idea is not to, they want to be create non-proprietary environments.
Intel
which
does?
Is solely alien. What?
Intel wants to create a non-proprietary environment. Oh, you're saying non-proprietary from Apple owning their chip.
Yeah.
Intel wants to have the ownership of it 100% themselves.
But they don't want the environment that it's sold into to be proprietary
right, no,
to
I get
one
it.
Or two companies. Right. They want everybody to buy their chip.
Right, right.
And that's what I mean. I mean, I'm not talking about the specific chip itself being proprietary, non-proprietary.
Right.
It's a different model completely with ARM.
Totally, completely a different model. I mean, there's not a lot like that. But so they made some money on it, and that's good. They're getting rid of some more assets, and it's going to be interesting to see how NVIDIA, who has been a leader in so many areas in the chip space, I mean, from autonomous driving. I mean, they were the drivers of the whole blockchain and the whole Bitcoin mining boom. AMD started to take up some of that, but I mean, their graphics cards and all that was pretty amazing. So we'll see how that hopefully maybe there's something that could work, and they're going to utilize them as the development house for their own chips and on their own chipsets.
It's possible, but if they own the company, I can see them pushing a little harder because they've taken over like half of the business. The guts of a computer is now at least half GPU, which is kind of their invention, the graphical process, whatever it is.
Unit.
And they've kind of used the GPU as a quasi CPU for almost anything that goes on the screen, which most of the computer's work is done through the GPU. And if they can kind of take over the whole thing, GPU, CPU, because ARM designs are all CPU.
That'd be interesting.
I think it'd be dangerous.
Yeah. And maybe even better, because now we'll have something that's working together so well, which is one of the benefits of working with an Apple machine, right? Everything is built for Apple. Whereas we've talked about this for years, where a lot of the things that were on Microsoft machines were built to be on any machine possible. And it wasn't narrow. It was very broad-based. So you had glitches and problems with that. So interesting to see. All right, talking about some airlines here. Airlines are getting pretty creative. Delta Airlines said Monday that it will borrow $6.5 billion, and they're going to back this. They're going to have the collateral as their frequent flyer program. This is the third airline to tap its loyalty program in order to bring liquidity during this whole nasty crisis. So they plan to sell senior secured notes and enter into a new term loan backed by...
Sounds like a scam.
I'm not exactly sure how they do this. But, well, I mean, the SkyMiles, it seems like it's an asset of theirs, but yet is it really an asset or is it a liability?
Sounds like a liability.
That's what I was going to say. It's kind of like a liability, right?
Yeah, there's no value in that to them. They owe people money.
Right. So I'm not sure
how... How is that an asset? It's just a mailing list? I mean, that's different. You can get a mailing list cheap.
I suppose it has to do with the fact that people...
Loyalty?
Is it possibly future travel? I don't know. It just definitely seems like a liability to me. I agree. But it's being backed by that. There's a lot of suckers right now buying anything from anybody. So let's see. If the bond defaults, they got to pay up with miles. And I guess those miles can be converted, but those are other people's miles. It doesn't make sense.
It makes no sense.
I don't know. I'm trying to make it up here as I go of how it works. It doesn't make any sense at all. Here's some more airlines. This is a great story. United Airlines Holdings has been packing the charter flights for sports teams with young blonde crews and has been barring older flight attendants from working the plum routes, as they call them, according to a new lawsuit. In doing so, the airline based the value of workers entirely on their racial and physical attributes and stereotypical notions of sexual allure, according to the veteran flight attendants who sued Friday. The attendants, a black woman, and who worked actually for, 28 years for United Airlines, and a Jewish woman who's 34 years of tenure, say they both tried repeatedly and unsuccessfully to get assigned to work the charter flights because I don't know why. But one of the things that happened is they also said that that United Airlines has adopted and continues to implement procedures that are designed to ensure that young, white, blonde, blue-eyed female employees receive positions with the charter program where more senior and black and Jewish employees, such as the plaintiffs, do not. And there's all sorts of other bonuses and things like tickets and all sorts of parties and all that the flight attendants have been getting, and they're just pissed off.
Yeah, well, they probably have a right to be, except for the fact that this is not, I don't believe they're part of this charter system. The charter system is almost like when they had TED, if you remember that stupid airline, TED. They had, it was different. It was all non-union. I mean, you can do these other things. I can imagine, you know, the funny thing is there's a couple of different ways of looking at this and none of them good, but I remember when we used to go to Hawaii all the time on United, and they used to call the route United 50 or Hawaii 50 was the flight. It was Hawaii 50 because everybody, all the stewardesses, flight attendants, were all over 50. So it was called Hawaii 5-0, and that was a plum route, and it was based on seniority. So all the senior, oldest flight attendants would put their name on the list to take the Hawaii route and go to spend a couple of days in Hawaii constantly. And there was no workaround. The airline had no workaround if they wanted to load up with a bunch of babes. So
this
is a workaround.
I mean, I've traveled extensively throughout Asia. I got to tell you, just saying, not from just my eye, I'm just saying there is a difference when I get off the flight, the United flight or the American Airlines flight. I have a story for you. It's a terrible story. That when you get off the flight and you get onto your next route, you know, from, let's say I fly from here to London or from here to somewhere or whatever, the international flight on Asian Airlines, the differential between the flight attendants, male and female, is staggering. There, I remember one time I was flying on a flight and I was sitting up front and I was going long trip, and the woman that came over to me was this really, let's just say, she had some seniority with the airline, okay? A lot of seniority. And she comes over and she says, you know, would you like a drink, whatever? And I'm looking around the plane. I'm like, well, what's going on? I mean, this is like, you know, Grandma Moses is going to be my flight attendant for the whole thing, okay? And then this is terrible. This is so, I don't even know if I should say it.
You probably should stop while you're ahead.
It gets worse. It gets worse. Anyway, let's just say that.
But that was on American or United?
I think that was United. Let me just say that she fell. I did not trip her, okay? I'm just saying. And she fell.
That's terrible.
And she was sitting down the rest of the flight. Not really hurt, but whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's But you get on the next flight and you have these just gorgeous people, men and women that are the flight attendants. It's a whole different thing. You know that, you know, there's like, you have size 2 to 4 dresses and outfits that you'll fit into. If not, you're not working for us. That's kind of like, you know, here,
yeah,
it's like
harsh.
Yeah, here it's like, you know, 10 to 12.
Well, it's also because we have the union protect some of these people. And as somebody pointed out to me, they said, well, what happened was there's somewhere along the line in the 50s and even into the 60s, and probably just a little beyond that, when they have airlines like PSA and these, and the women would be all dolled up. A stewardess was never seen as a career. No one ever thought of that a flight attendant is a career opportunity. It was something you did so you could travel and you could make some money as, you know, on the airlines. And then somewhere along the lines, it was decided by some people that this was the only thing they're ever going to be able to do. And they wanted to make a career out of it. And then the unions formed. And the next thing you know, you have old people, as flight attendants, when you would never have anyone anywhere close to these ages back in the 50s and 60s, when that job was never considered a career. It was just a job that you could just, like working at McDonald's. Nobody's a career cashier at McDonald's.
Yep. Became a lifelong thing. You can get that retirement bonus alone. All right, skipping over to Facebook, or as you call it, on No Agenda, which you can listen to every Thursday and Sunday at 12 noon with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. Just taking the news, ripping it apart, and giving you exactly what it really means. And if you haven't listened, what I'm talking about may seem foreign to you, but you need to go look at that, because they really disassemble, reassemble, and then put in perspective. Like John was saying earlier, and this is the kind of insight you get, maybe it was set up with Nancy Pelosi and Kramer. That's kind of the thing they talk about and then give you the reasons why, and they do a great job of it. So you can grab that on No Agenda Stream on No Agenda. Just look up No Agenda, you'll find it. And how about that Adam Curry on Joe Rogan again?
Yeah, it was on, I think it was on last Tuesday, not today, but last Tuesday show, I think, is what he was on, or the one before.
Huge audience, huge, millions and millions of downloads.
11 million audience. He's got the biggest audience in the business.
Amazing. And Joe Biden seemed to have said no to a debate that he was going to host between Donald Trump and Biden.
There's not going to be a chance of that happening in a million years. I don't think he's going to debate Trump at all. Doesn't have the wherewithal, the integrity, or the stamina.
Yeah, it's going to be a little rough to watch. It's going to be kind of, I think, like watching Chevy Chase on the Chevy Chase show. Remember that?
The horrible Chevy Chase show. It's torturous. Going to have the biggest audience. This is my prediction. This will have the biggest audience of any debate in the history of presidential debates. But by a big number, it's going to pack them in.
Yeah.
I think that they don't want him to debate Trump, but the networks have got to see the bonanza, the kind of money, the kind of numbers they can get if they can get these two guys on the stage.
I'd
watch it.
I think, you know, the only thing Biden could possibly do is something like, hey, you know what? I am not going to debate you until you release your tax returns. He could try that one.
Yeah, he could try it. He could try a lot of things. It's still going to look like he's afraid to debate him.
Yep.
When he made a big thing earlier during their other debates, oh, yeah, I can wear, he's going to, I'm going to kick his butt. I can do it. You know,
I can do pushups. Like, I can beat him in the debate. So anyway, Facebook, Kim Kardashian tonight, Kim Kardashian West tonight said she's joining other celebrities to freeze her Facebook and Instagram accounts on Wednesday in a campaign urging the world's biggest social media company to curb the spread of hate and propaganda.
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah. But we can listen to her shenanigans. You know, it's okay to put, you know, her pictures on there and her things and all the stuff that she's selling. But the stuff that she doesn't like, you know what? I'm leaving Facebook because of it. Stock's down 4% in after hours on the news.
Oh, please.
Yeah. Here's a thought question for you. Through this hardship, what have we learned? Or as they say in Latin, ad astra per aspera. Have we learned anything through this hardship? Are we just going to go back?
Yeah, we learned that Sweden did the right thing and none of us did the right thing. Sweden did the right thing. They didn't lock their economy down and they let people, you know, kind of fend for themselves. You want to close your bar, close it. You want to wear a mask, wear one. But they just warned everybody. They went through it. They got through it. Now they're coming out smelling like a rose. Well, everybody else is locked down, locked people in their homes. It just hasn't worked out. That's what we learned.
Did we? But let me ask you a question.
Be a little more liberal with our thinking. That's what we learned.
Is it possible that there's a different mindset somehow in Sweden? Because it seems to me that if the Swedes did the right thing by their own merit and their own personal decision-making process, it seems to me that, and you know, we know all the numbers, and you know, they do have some deaths, and they have coronavirus, all this stuff. Okay, fine, but it seems that here we're just so defiant about anybody telling us what to do at all that we just either.
Well, we're not that defiant. Most people are doing exactly what they're told, at least not in my neck of the woods.
So you think that if we would have just not locked down and just had recommendations that this, we would have had a much lower rate of infection and deaths. Is that what you're saying? And a better economy.
I don't know if it'd be any different, to be honest about it, but that's the point. It's possible that I think the Swedes have a slightly higher number per capita because the problems caused by and the deaths caused by locking down the economy, which includes a lot of suicides and other problems and issues and bankruptcies and people getting tossed out of their places and failure to pay rents and all the complexities involved is worse than it would have been if we had just done what the Swedes did. And now, by the way, you'll notice that they're not talking about Sweden at all when they discuss anything now.
They just want to hide from it?
Yeah.
Everybody?
Pretty much.
I mean, I saw some of the Swedes' numbers and all. I just, you know, look, South Korea was another good example, but they had very strict testing and contact tracing. And I mean, look, to be honest with you, If there's a big if, but just for a moment, just go with me here. If we can believe the Chinese numbers to be true, they did a really good job.
We just have to. That's a big stretch.
I understand. I'm just saying, compared to where we are, we're still going through this stuff.
That discussion doesn't exist.
Okay.
Because the Chinese are bullshitters.
I agree. I totally
so
agree.
What did we learn? You asked me. I told you what I think we learned. What did you think we learned?
I think we learned right now, and I think this is the ongoing situation, that nothing fails. It doesn't fail and doesn't matter how much debt we have in this MMA or MM, what was it called? MMT. For the markets is, you know, just as long as we have, I guess we've reinforced the idea is that let no good and deep massive, what's the word I'm looking for? Catastrophe go to waste.
Yeah, well, that's always a good saying.
You know, I think that's what we've learned here. And I just don't know what if we can't get a situation that is, you know, going to put certain companies out. Well, certain companies will go out of business, of course. I mean, I think like 33% of the New York restaurants are going to go out of business. And by the way, they're going to open up 25% of indoor dining in September, at the end of September. And then what happens in November when it's ass cold over there and they can't have any outdoor dining?
It's a mess. Yeah. Well, we get more reports about people bailing out of New York and moving to everywhere.
Yeah. That's why all of the housing numbers are looking so good.
Yeah.
I mean, really good.
I think New York is going in, is getting ready, or it's going to, or it should be getting ready for a major tailspin economically.
Yeah. I mean, LA is kind of there too, some of that, but not as severe.
No, New York's really is the key.
Very bad. Here's the TikTok drama. I just want to give you some updates on what's going on. China said they would rather shut down TikTok in the U.S. than have to be forced into a sales situation. So Microsoft is out of the deal. Now, Oracle is set to partner to oversee the data privacy, which is kind of nice. Of course, Larry Ellison is a big supporter of Trump and had a nice big fat dinner recently, or a fundraising episode, you know, to create a ton of money for the RNC. Yeah. But okay, with that aside, not sure how this looks, if Oracle is supposedly taking a piece or not taking a piece of the ownership. Then we see later today that Oracle is possibly going to be having a minority interest. It's going to be a standalone company in the U.S. I still don't understand what the hell is so important about this company. I don't get it.
Well, how's it any different than Vine used to be?
I don't understand why. I mean, I guess.
And how does it? Why can't somebody just clone it? Why doesn't Microsoft? Microsoft used to copy everything. Why don't they just copy this?
Yeah, Google just launched YouTube Shorts, a mobile short-form video production platform.
That would be the same thing. So Google's the only company left over, apparently, with the old Silicon Valley mentality of let's just steal it.
Yeah, I mean, why not? There is not a major barrier to entry here.
Rocket science?
No,
it's not brain surgery. It's a stupid video program, and it's again. Vine seems to me to be pretty much the same thing, but they just killed it for some unknown reason.
I don't understand. The only thing that makes sense to me, seriously, is how they created an army and they created this mass attack on Trump a couple different times. And that was a big concern to the politicians. And I think that's reasonable to say. Whether it was the Democrats or Republicans, I don't care. But if they can really bring all these people together in such a short fashion to really disrupt what's going on, I think there is something to be said there, and maybe you don't want to have that. But and we know that Facebook is not in China, you know, and they're not. There are certain companies that aren't allowed to do business. Like Google is locked down in China, so there's something there. But I still understand why it seems like this is such a national emergency. And why it's bizarre to me. Just bizarre. It's back to, I don't know. The whole thing's bizarre. It really is weird. But anyway. And if you're having trouble sleeping, by the way, John, just to let you know, doctors and dentists are reporting more cases of cracked teeth and insomnia as the coronavirus pandemic takes a toll on the nation's stress levels, which is something you just talked about. But to the rescue, Pepsi. Pepsi's making a drink called Driftwell.
Oh, yeah.
Pitching his way to combat the problem. So this is it's an enhanced water drink that contains 200 grams of L-theanine, which is an amino acid found in green and black teas and some mushrooms. And several studies have suggested that this ingredient can improve sleep quality and can help reduce the physical reaction of stress. So Pepsi's going to just shove it in some kind of flavored water and sell it for, you know, a buck and a half a can, when it probably cost them pennies.
Free.
Yeah. A couple more food stats that I think is really important, and I think that our audience really needs to know. And by the way, you can see all of these charts and things that we talk about, as well as the show notes over on dhunplugged.com. This is episode number 523, noodles. Did you know that instant noodles have been in significantly more demand during the pandemic?
That wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah. It seems that, according to the World Instant Noodle Association, by the way, just to kind of get that straight.
The World Instant Noodle Association.
Yes. The World Instant Noodle.
Well, you know, if you go to a Chinese, we have a couple Asians. We have the Big 99 Ranch giant supermarket over here, and then there's a couple of local Japanese places. They have so many varieties of instant noodles. It's aisles and aisles of different brands and different flavors of instant noodles. It's just, it's astonishing how many, you know, everyone just sees ramen. Yeah, ramen is like a weak sister compared to these other products.
Yep. So according to the WINA, or the World Instant Noodle Association, demand reached 106 billion servings in 2019. And for what it's worth, the home of the instant noodle is Japan, where the first dehydrated ramen packages hit markets in 1958. But more to the point, we have a chart from a company called Statista, which shows us where the noodle population is real. The noodle consumption is really the highest in the world. And the number one place right now is South Korea.
It's interesting. Nepal is number two.
Yep. Nepal number two, Indonesia, Japan.
We're not even, we're weak sisters down at the bottom here.
Yep. Not much on there. So lots of opportunity in South Korea. And I just bought, it's a super duper three times hot noodle package you can buy. It's like, it's like volcanic. I don't know. It's ridiculous. So I saw people eating it on a noodle challenge on YouTube and I said, I'm going to buy some of that. So I went on Amazon. I bought it. Man, this stuff is hot. I mean, hot, hot. I like hot. I like super duper hot. This was just lip burning hot.
There are, I'm very much like you. I like, and I've been raised with hot food because I'm in California and I like Mexican food, always have. And the hotter versions. And I like Thai food that's hot and all the rest. But I have run into an occasional too hot, just like ridiculously hot, is useless. Why is it this hot? There's no reason for it. Hot. I don't like that.
Yeah, this is stupid hot. This is...
Yeah, it's stupid hot.
Right. This is ghost pepper. What's the other one that's really...
Oh, ghost pepper. Give me a break. Level. Anyone who... What's the point?
Right. It's the next level. It's like... there's another pepper that's even hotter.
The Carolina thing.
Yeah, the Reaper.
The Carolina Reaper. Yeah, Reaper pepper. Which is an artificially developed pepper.
Yeah, it's like pure capsaicin. This is what this tastes
like. You might as well just buy a bottle of capsaicin and that's just what this dump
is.
That
right, on. Right. The Big Mac Index, staying on the food discussion, is a theory that's based on the purchasing power parity of food and where it is costs and what it costs in different places. So it can, the notion is that the long-term exchange rates should move towards the rate that would equalize the prices of identical base products in different countries. Yeah. So we have in this case,
the Big Mac index.
Yeah. So the Big Mac right now in London and in Britain cost £3.39.
Yeah, which is about $4.25.
Yeah, in the U.S. it's $5.71, which I didn't know that. That had played.
It's overpriced in this country.
Seems that way.
When did the Big Mac, which used to be originally came out at $1.99 or $1.59 or something like that, and it was a better product. And I'm going to just throw a little insight thing in here. When I was working as an air pollution inspector, I used to inspect the Morehouse Mustard Factory, which used to be in Emeryville. They moved to Los Angeles years ago. And I got a lecture. Apparently, Morehouse had helped develop the Big Mac. And the original Big Mac had fresh mustard and fresh ground horseradish in the sauce.
Nice.
And I remember when that thing first came out, it was delicious.
Right.
And then they've done just what a lot of American companies do. They start to cheapen the product, use cheaper buns, use powdered horseradish, and And you still think it's kind of the same. It's not. Anyway, it's my personal complaint. Now it's $5.
Yep. And the difference between the values is 0.79, says the British pound is 25% undervalued.
Yeah.
Do you know the ingredients of a Big Mac? What's on the actual burger?
Two double beef patties, blah, blah, blah.
Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and sesame seed bun.
Yeah, sesame seed bun.
I remember having to memorize that when I was younger. Apple event we went through. Michael Bloomberg is spending $1 billion on his very failed Democratic presidential bid before dropping out, is injecting $100 million to help Joe Biden. And specifically, he's going to be spending that in Florida. So,
I wonder what kind of angle Bloomberg thinks he can pull off in Florida that would get anyone to vote for doddering Joe.
I have a
great clip coming up for the No Agenda show with I got some Joe Biden stuff because he came out to this. He just says these things. Nobody fact checks anything he says. They don't care. Biden literally says he's talking about the fires in California because of global warming. Not because of bad management, but because of global warming. I'm sure that's the reason. And he says, you can see the NASA satellites can see the smoke and the flames from 1 million miles away.
A million miles away.
That's what he said.
A million miles away.
Going around a million miles away. And it's like, okay, you know how far it is to the moon?
Yeah.
People should know these numbers. Just remember these numbers. I'm going to push these numbers. 238,000 miles to the moon. A normal satellite is altitude? It's about 22,000 miles away from Earth. That's where the normal satellites sit. A million miles.
Now, wait a minute. Just hold on. If Trump said that, we would have his press secretary come on and say, well, you know, he was just saying like, hey, it's a million miles away. It's like a long, really far away. You know, he wasn't giving the exact numbers. Let's be honest. That's what would happen.
Probably.
Yeah. And they would be like, oh, it's just Trump being Trump.
But they'd be hounding him.
Right. Right. Now, that would be on the news for 3 days.
Anything about Biden talking about our satellites a million miles. I just cracked up. I couldn't stop laughing when I heard this.
But Biden is well ahead in the money raising category. It seems that in August he collected $364 million and Trump was at 210. So Trump is on a new campaign to push it up because they spent a lot of money on his campaign early in the campaign, spent a lot of money on like the Super Bowl and a few other things that he spent money on. Anyway, away from politics. Let's talk about Israel, a new lockdown. Israel is going to enter a three-week nationwide lockdown starting last Friday to contain the spread of the coronavirus after a second wave surge of new cases. Meanwhile...
Oh, a surge of new cases, but not a surge of deaths.
No, surge of new cases. They want to make sure there's no deaths. They're doing this right in the middle of the Jewish high holidays, which, by the way, Happy New Year to everybody celebrating Rosh Hashanah starting on Friday evening. So Israelis will have to stay 500 meters of their houses, but can travel to workplaces that will be allowed to operate on a limited basis. Schools and shopping malls will be closed, but supermarkets, pharmacies will remain open. And the public sector will operate with fewer staff, but non-governmental officials and business will have to close. But Netanyahu was here shaking hands with Trump today. Did you see that?
Yeah. Well.
All right, let's see what else we have here because we're running out of time.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Right. Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. This year's celebration is going to shift to a television-only special presentation showcasing the Macy's Parade signature of mix of giant character helium balloons, fantastic floats, street performers, clowns, and heralding the arrival of the holiday season with Santa Claus. 75%. Let's see, reducing the 75% of reduction of overall participants. And all participants will have to be socially distant. I think they're doing everything right in front of the Macy's store. They're not going to be schlepping for blocks. So it's going to be a televised broadcast-only production. It's probably good for Macy's, considering how much they're bleeding from this whole thing.
Yeah, probably.
You know?
Although they could use the publicity. I don't know if anyone's going to watch this crap.
Yeah. Let's see here. Scandalous World, we'll save that. Vegas, no smoke. One of the last of the Vegas Strip resorts is going to be opening again is MGM. And they're going to announce no smoking in the facility. The whole casino. Is this going to be? Is this going to be a thing? Is this going to be? Is this going to be something?
Well, to the old ladies that go there and they have to smoke, I don't know that would bother. It sure wouldn't bother me.
Next, they'll cut drinks. Oh,
well, they got to keep those free drinks coming, or people stop gambling.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got here. We talked about the winner for the last Macy's was actually the winner. The last close to the pin. Donations, of course, it is the season to be jolly. We're getting into that very shortly, and it's coming into that time of year where you probably need to think about the people that you love, and two of them are right here. So you can donate over on dhunplugged.com. Click on the little button and, you know, give a couple of bucks. It helps out the cause. It's very beneficial for everybody, and they say the more you give, the more you get, right?
That's the old saying.
That's the old saying. It's still good to go. A couple other things real quickly. Space travel. Virgin Galactic plans to conduct its new next crewed space flight test on October 22nd, according to the documents that the company filed with the FCC.
Why does that have to be filed with the FCC?
As I was reading this, I'm thinking, why is it? That's exactly what I was thinking. What does that have to do with anything? Wouldn't it be like the FAA?
That would seem likely, yeah, FAA.
Maybe they're going to broadcast something? I don't know. Maybe
the whole thing is a fake.
Somebody's doing it. So you think that maybe it's only going to be coming over our airways and they have to clear it through the Communications Commission because it's going to be like a video podcast.
Exactly. Green screen.
The flight will be the first of two that the space tourism company has planned to complete testing. And the next one, if this goes successfully, is going to be Sir Richard Branson. We'll have the flight in the first quarter of 2021, which will mark a milestone that will bring in the beginning of the company's commercial tourism service. Just as a disclaimer, I own stock in this.
Do you now?
Yep.
Are you going to take a trip?
It's $200,000. I was thinking about putting down a $1,000 deposit. It's all, we'll see.
Well, that put you in line. You could probably sell the trip for $250.
That's exactly. Yeah, I like the way you think. That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, yeah, this maybe if I do that, I could scoot somebody up for $1,000, make a couple of bucks on it. IPOs this week. We got a big week coming up. We got Snowflake, which is cloud software, Unity Software, which is gaming, and Amwell, which is telehealth, which is something it's not out yet. Snowflake, not making any money. Actually losing money, is pricing some ridiculous number. They jacked their price up like 30%. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. It may just be probably come out and fly, but then I wonder. Plus, it has a really bad name. Snowflake.
I agree.
All right, we have time for a couple of limericks that came in, Fed Limerick time. Let me get my pad out. So I'm not going to send you the spicy ramen noodles. You wouldn't eat that.
I know, I probably wouldn't. You don't need to bother.
I'm crossing that off my list. I put that on my list. I'm taking it off. I should probably send him to Curry. You think Curry would eat it?
No, no way.
No way. No, no, no. He's a steak man. Steak and potato. All right. First limerick is from Sam Lacey. And it goes something like this. Massive central bank's largesse creates broad civil unrest. While leaders conspire to push markets higher, the next move is anyone's guess.
Wow. I don't know why I liked that one. It kind of rolled right through. It was nice. It was a little short.
Because I didn't screw it up.
No, you didn't screw it up. I'll give that a B plus.
Wow, very nice. Next one, Chris from South Africa. South Africa. There once was a mole in the Fed whose leaks invariably led to the champagne of flowing till his cover was blown, and now he's a podcaster instead.
Wow, it's another good one. It's a little more to the form. I like the way he split sentences. I'm going to give that a B plus.
B plus. Oh, maybe. I'm going to bang through this to see if we can get an A. Matt Taylor sends this one in. My savings can get no return because Jay Powell has money to burn. So I'll YOLO on Elon. Shit, my nest egg is all gone. Andrew, do you have a need for an intern?
That fell apart.
Andrew, do you need an intern? My savings can get no return because Jay Powell has money to burn. So I'll YOLO on Elon. Shit, my nest egg is all gone. Andrew, do you need an intern?
Yeah. That's a C minus at best.
Matt. I think the next one was good. I know we're not running out of time, but I got to read it. John Potts. 2020 made a tech bubble. Retail investors got into trouble. The Fed came along with his liquidity song and burned our assets to rubble.
There's something wrong with this one, and I can't put my finger on what.
Trouble, bubble, rubble, a long song. They all rhyme.
Trouble and bubble, rubble. You know, if you use bubble, or trouble, rubble, burn, and burn our asses too. He's got seven beats on the last line in 2020 made a tech bubble. He's got, I don't know what's wrong with it. It's just something it does. I don't like the sound of it. I'm just going to give it, but I can't tell you what's really wrong with this. So I'll give him a B.
All right. Well, good crop this evening. And you can send those into, what do we send them into? DH Unplugged at, what is the email? I forgot. DH email at dhunplugged.com. Is that right?
I don't know.
I think that's it. Send it in, see if I get it. We'll find out what happens.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures.
There you go. All right, we still got a lot on the list. That I told you that IPO.
The list is getting big.
Yeah, I know. I'm not putting anything on tonight.
Oh, I got two items.
You can do as many as you want.
Maybe three. I'm going to do three items today.
All right, you can do them. Let me put another row in here. This one important administration housekeeping item here. Uniball, Rodamco, Westfield, SE. I will hold on this list. It doesn't work on my other system. I couldn't get it going. So I can't put it on the official DH Unplugged site.
Oh well.
So I'm not putting anything on here, but we have a nice run here. Train Technologies up 35%. IPOC is now up 15%. Shopify still kind of lagging a little bit. But Xerox is kind of coming. Wayfair was kicked. Zoom up 7% on the short there. Jets up 1.21%. So there we go. All right, what you got?
Well, I have the short that I mentioned earlier.
Oh, yeah.
The car company, Tesla, Nikolai or whatever it is.
NKLA. Enter.
I have two more. I got two different kinds of picks. I got a descending triangle that has a chart that is just remarkable and well worth looking at. And that is Summit Financial Group.
Symbol.
And that's a buy because it's just, I mean, I don't see it. This thing can't go below 14 bucks.
What's the symbol?
SMMF.
Okay.
That's a very interesting chart to look at. Then I have one that is which is Kodiak Sciences.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to have to guess why I'm picking this. What group of advisors, if they pick anything, I'm in.
Baker Brothers.
Yep.
Baker.
They bought like $10 million worth of this stuff.
What's the symbol?
KOD.
Yeah. Let's see if that comes up.
Biotech company.
Control V. Kodiak Sciences. Yep, there it is. All right, one above. Anything else you want to plug, talk about, discuss, anything?
Not really.
All right.
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Well, then I will see you again next week.
Okay, that's a deal. Bye. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.